episode 13 of the DQ Sports Blizzard. And tonight, it's kind of a small panel because Diaz isn't here.
Well, what is he doing now?
I think he had a doctor's appointment.
This fucking late?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I'm not going to even say what I
mean. No Rex, but phone lines are open, 215-716-1108. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. Ooh. Of course, Pops is here. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
House Thomas is here, the great Philadelphia Eagle.
Good evening.
And also, I believe right at the top of the show, our Phillies insider, Chris Sack, is going to call in. As our board cuts out, that's
okay.
Good. We have to get that fixed.
Yeah, we got, yeah. Is it still a short over there?
Yeah, there is a short.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we need a sound guy or a new board to do that.
Okay.
I do want to go over our sponsors real quick before we get rocking and rolling here.
All right.
Miller, we always like our friends at Miller Lite. And if you're not drinking Miller Lite, you're drinking Yards because they got the brewery Northern Liberties. And if you're not drinking Miller Lite and you're not drinking Yards, Stateside Vodka, because we love Stateside Vodka, got their distillery right here in Fishtown. Bucks County Baseball Company, 422 Jeep in Limerick. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants, except the one on Delaware Ave, which will open the end of March when it gets nice and warm out, because it's certainly not warm right now. Our great friends at Delilah's, we love Delilah's, our great friends at Bourbon Blue and the Bayou and Cactus, all three, all in Manayunk. Manayunk Sports and Social Club, and of course our buddies, Ken Davies. We got to get him in here one night. Ooh. City Fitness Philadelphia, all the locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, East Market. Put this in.
Right.
Now, Hollis, this is going to be in the middle of the Green Legion podcast, probably maybe towards the beginning.
Correct.
I forgot to say this. Hollis, what's Quimby doing on Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday, there'll be a special show from 5 to 6 p.m., special Super Bowl Sunday show from Costa Rica, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Quimby, who's going to be Quimby and who else?
Jay, I guess?
Jay's going to be. Gavin?
Gavin, whatever.
Did you listen to the show?
I only saw part. I listened to part of it.
The next time you talk to Jay, call him Gavin.
Okay.
Fucking make him hot as fuck.
And now back to us talking on the regular DQ Sports Blizzard. Now, Chris Sack is supposed to call at the top of the show, so we will get into some Phillies talk.
Right.
Before Chris calls in, I guess we're still on the Manny Machado, Bryce Harper watch.
Bryce Harper watch.
Yeah.
Well, first, you know, we have to get we're going all the way, Phillies talk out of the way. Night was the 43? Volume 43, Phillies were going all the way. They won two in a row.
Flyers.
Flyers.
Five in a row.
Five in a row.
Five of six. Break them up, baby.
Oh, okay. So, Flyers talk. Sorry about that. Deepest apologies. Deepest apologies, Phillies.
Five of six. We break them up.
Okay.
break up the Flyers.
Break up the Flyers. We're trying to get back to the top of the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can move on to the Phillies now.
Yeah, because if the Flyers get to the top of the draft, they'll probably just get another goalie.
Hey, this better be the goalie that we want.
Yeah, it better be.
But I keep hearing that.
Well, no, everyone's been saying that, but hopefully he's the one.
Yeah,
the
young guy, yeah, Hart, but, I mean, it kind of gets redundant.
Carter Hart's pretty good.
Yeah.
So. It kind of gets redundant after a while, though.
They've been looking for a goalie since Hextall. They've had three good goalies. One of them died in a car accident.
Oh, damn. Oh,
yeah. Pelle Lindbergh, mm-hmm. Then Hextall, and then, of course, you had Bernie. Other than that, we didn't have anything.
Well, oh, yeah, because that's the running joke, because Quimby always says, Flyers, volume 43, we going all the way.
Yeah. And since it's freezing cold out, I'm waiting for Chris to call in.
Right.
On a brighter note, make sure that you go to greenlegion.com because you want to sign up for the Sixers-Phillies trip, which is March 22nd to the 26th. You get spring training, you get one day. That's not on there. I figured I'd just add it to the notes.
Okay.
you get
Sixers-Phillies. Yeah,
Sixers-Phillies. You get Clearwater one day, and then you go to Orlando. I think we leave Monday for Sixers and the Magic.
Oh, that's okay. When is it?
It is March 23rd to March 26th, so it's Friday. Yeah.
You know what else is going on?
And you come back
not
on
to
Tuesday.
Promote anything else, but there'll be some quality events going on down that way.
Yeah.
It's another event going on down that way. It's with the cigars and ladies.
Cigars and ladies.
Oh, right. Yes.
You want to elaborate on the cigars and ladies?
I didn't think there was any need to. Quality cigars, quality women.
That's right.
Well, at that same time frame?
At the same weekend, actually.
Are you going down for that?
I was supposed to. I was supposed to go with my boy Kev. He's actually supposed to send me the information because I think he's supposed to stay at the Hard Rock.
Okay.
The Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah. One of my friends once got kicked out of the Hard Rock Casino. The one in Tampa?
What the hell was he?
She was really drunk.
Oh,
really, really
now,
drunk.
Now, Not to get off, not to get totally off.
We're just trying to kill time until Chris calls in.
Yeah, we're trying to kill time because we don't want to move on because the main thing here is gridiron. It's gridiron stuff. And, but you had to be truly just like totally inebriated, belligerent, and belligerent to get kicked out of just about anywhere nowadays.
Was she trying to dance on the bar? What did she do?
She was just way too drunk.
Was she? We're in New Orleans at that one place where the lady was trying to take off her clothes drunk, and they had to carry her down the steps.
That sounds like fun.
One of the Green Legion trips to New Orleans. You know what cracked me up too was that on the Green Legion trip was, so we were in there. They had me the giant Crown Royal chair.
Okay.
So I was taking pictures with people in the giant Crown Royal chair. Yeah. And so then it's like a lot of people. I don't think they've ever been to New Orleans before, but they put bouncy floorboards in the floorboards of clubs. So when you in there, it's got some give to it. But it kind of feels like if you're a big guy, it feels like you're about to go through that puppy and you kind of get scared. Yeah.
So is that the same one that, they were, well, I think she was sitting on the steps of a certain point where you couldn't go beyond.
Well, it was two. Well, see, it was two. There was
it was
a Caucasian, and there was an African American young lady.
Oh, okay.
The African American young lady, I seen her earlier, and she, the next time I seen her, she was trying to take off her clothes, and her guy was following her. Now the Caucasian lady, she was sitting in place where they were not trying. She was.
Yeah, I know. I was. I was sitting there for you.
But yeah, but the, so then she so then they tried to. I want to say Connie and somebody else tried to usher her to the bathroom so she could try to get herself together, and she's snatching away from people, and they're really just trying to get her ass out of the club so they're not liable because she had got that bad, and I think it was a little bit more than just alcohol.
I'm happy to say that I've never been tossed from an establishment. It's never happened to me.
Me neither. I've never been tossed.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. I don't want that on your track
that
record.
That would probably just be very distasteful.
You know why you don't want it more so on your track record? Because you never know when you're going to see the bouncers that threw you out again.
Good point.
Because you never know which club they're going to be at next. Like, he can't come in.
See, sometimes you know you have good bouncers if they're scary looking, they're doing it. Like, I don't want this guy to throw me out. Although if you guys go to a bar or a club, you guys are big men. There isn't too many people when bouncers that are bigger than you guys.
Yeah, but you also have to realize though that a lot of times when people get alcohol in them, you have that certain one that wants to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super human strength. Okay. It's like, the main thing that they tell us when we walk into places is you guys aren't here to start any trouble. It's like not really. You looking for something?
You guys are lovers, not fighters.
Exactly. We don't come.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of. But wait, you, if you have to fight every night, I got to prove my love.
The Bryce Harper thing. I'm still waiting. MLB The Show was supposed to make some announcement.
You know that they're not going to be on ESPN anymore, right?
No, MLB. They're not. Well, they're not doing Baseball Tonight anymore.
Oh yeah.
So Baseball Tonight's gone off of ESPN. They're going to be out of business in 10 years.
ESPN, yeah, because they fired. Well, see, you can't continue. The best way to put this is you can't. If a woman, if they're doing the Me Too movement stuff with the women stuff, and some of them are quality reporters, but you just can't throw every woman up there, just every woman up there, because hardly anybody really wants to hear that if she doesn't know what she's talking about. Some women that actually cut their teeth, and it's actually a slap in the face to them because they cut their teeth and they went through all the crap, and then you just throw somebody up there who don't. It's like, cause if I hear another woman talking about some thingamajig or something like that, but it's like, it's not only women, it's some of the guys that they're putting up there too. They're a slaw, they are god awful.
Yeah, speaking of the Me Too movement, you know, they're having a Surviving R. Kelly.
Oh, God.
They're selling tickets to women that are having speeches about it.
Should we go get media credentials for that and cover it?
Surviving R. Kelly.
Seems like an agenda, basically, to, you know, promote people to make money.
They're selling tickets to it.
Yes, the people, the victims.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, that's something that should be free information. Because obviously he's a bit of a slime ball. Obviously, you should want to get the word out there, whether it's hook or crooked. It shouldn't be a monetary agenda behind, you know, get stopping somebody from hurting somebody else.
Yeah, what I like $15. I mean, me personally, in a situation like that, they all knew about it. I'm not saying it was okay. Never will I accept anything like that.
Right,
but they knew about it dating back to the days of Aaliyah, 94, 95, maybe a little bit later. If they would have treated him like that then, he would have been Terrence Trent D'Arby with maybe one or two songs.
Oh, yeah.
opposed to a billion, almost $1 billion in sales.
Well, see that's what you get down here on the DQ Sports Blitz. You get an array of things from hip hop, R&B, to sports, and we're waiting on that.
I thought he was calling at 6:35. Maybe I'll send him a text.
We were trying to kill time to then.
I see that look you just gave. You know who Terrence Trent D'Arby is?
Who? Say that again?
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
No.
Wish me love, oh, wishing well to kiss me down. Oh, wishing well.
What cracks me about the show is
Johnny Kemp.
Yeah.
What cracks me about the show is I started talking about the MLB, the show, the game, right, their Twitter account.
Right.
And we went from that to R. Kelly. We just went off the rails.
We just trying to kill time to a buddy call.
And then not only that, you have to think about it. You spoke about ESPN not being around in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I took it to women. On ESPN and
the Me Too movement.
Me Too movement and then the crappy guys are on there and he just took it that way.
There you go. Now we're back.
Now we're back to MLB. And you were saying about the Twitter account?
Now I'm just trying to tell Chris to make sure he can call now.
So the Twitter account, what was up with the Twitter account?
But you had that look, that uncomfortable look on your face. Like, what did I just do?
No, I just want to make sure that everything runs the way it's supposed to run.
Oh, we got you. We got you.
No, I was saying about that. MLB The Show said watch the Twitter account on Wednesday. Like, they're going to make some announcement with Bryce Harper. There was never any announcement. Nothing happened.
That's probably just to attract traffic to that.
I'm sure, but that should be false advertising too.
It worked.
It's kind of like the state of journalism today. It's like nobody has to prove anything. All they have to do is they say something. They say allegedly. It's like you desecrate somebody's career. You desecrate somebody's name. And you're going to print the true story on the back page if it's not the true story that you put out there. So it's the credentials nowadays, the credibility nowadays of what they call journalism is just, it's pretty much just gossip. It's like, oh, I heard this, oh, I heard that, oh, I heard this.
Nobody
heard
fact this. Checks.
Yeah, nobody fact checks.
It just comes out.
Yeah, like the guy who did the article last week.
In the Philly Voice.
Yeah, what's his name?
I got to find the notes from last week.
Well, it was kind of funny because I know that guy, and I've always... He seemed cool because he would always try to give me the
Joseph San Laquito.
Yeah, San Laquito. He said he told me about the article coming out, and I took it with a grain of salt, and when he said it, I kind of dispelled it because I've always, you know how you think of somebody as a slime ball, and you really don't really, or you think of them as an underhanded dirtbag.
Underhanded dirtbag. I like that.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where. He's always came through on things that he's asked me, like he's offered me on some boxing trips, he's always been into boxing. And then when he had this article and he said it was going to be controversial, I was like, yeah, whatever, pal. But then it came out, I was like, oh, that was, but the one thing that I don't like is, I understand is the guys who, gave with the anonymous comments. And then we interviewed Ross Tucker on WIP, and he was talking about somebody who's never gave an anonymous comment except for one time. I was like, see, you've given anonymous comments before. And so they was asking me if it wasn't anybody I like. I was like, the only person I probably didn't like was Chris Bonio, fucking kicker from Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask something real quick. I was listening to WIP on the way down, and are you and Ike – close.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Well, I was interested because he was kind of talking about Andy Reid in a good light.
Yeah.
And I was kind of.
Well, no, but see, you had to listen to it.
Yeah.
We had some good times with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
It's like, but at the end, if you listen to him talk about on his way out, everybody on their way out, they were pissed with Andy Reid because he pretty much tried to kind of tell you about anybody. Everybody's going to tell you about the good times, but only the offensive players, and it's only a few of them that he's stuck with, and he pretty much kissed their ass.
Yeah.
Like defensive players, he pretty much tried to oust everybody, and everybody's looking to whoop his ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and trust me, and they might say they hope he does well now, but I don't give a fuck. I don't have a problem with saying that I hope he doesn't win the ring. I didn't get one.
I hate you and 10 other people that look just like you. All the hate, nothing but the bad things in life happen to you and only you.
Go ahead. All my friends all week were like, they liked the whole part of you talking about how you really felt about Andy. And my buddy's like, see, I told you. I was right about Andy the whole time. Even Hollis felt that way. I was right the whole time.
Well, see, when you look at – it's like sometimes when it's – I didn't realize how much of a dirtbag he was until like I told, it was something that I told him. It was just between me and him. And, Howard Eskins ended up saying it on the radio, saying something to that nature on the radio, but he had everything crossed up.
Okay.
So when that happened, I was like, "Why, you dirty, fat, red motherfucker?" I was like, "Yeah,
tell me how you really feel, Hollis."
Like, no, because when you was like, that was one of the things where he talks and preaches about family as like you trying to keep everything in house, and you got this little short, little gorilla looking motherfucker on the fucking radio talking about what you think is my business, and he's got it all mixed up. That's why I never really I'm cool with Howard, but he can get the fuck out of my face. Is that our call?
No, that's not our call. I should.
Because
horrible like, radio faux pas.
That was like part. An episode of when keeping it real goes wrong.
I was like, how I'm cool with Howard. It's like, but he was on yesterday. He was talking about being the Philly guy on Agnew show. And I was like, how the fuck are you gonna be a Philly guy? You was waltzing around with Jimmy Johnson that was winning Super Bowls. You talk about you're a Jimmy Johnson fan. I don't give a fuck who fan I am if I'm from Philly or if I'm from a certain place.
There we go.
Yeah. Way to chime
in. Now we're going to go to our Phillies insider, Chris Sack. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Good evening, guys. How are you guys?
Hey, what's
doing?
Up, Chris?
Well, I had Hollis going on a tangent about Andy Reid to kill some time since he called in, so I'm glad you could take some time.
Sorry about that, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Hollis. How are you so buddy?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to get this daggone Bryce Harper thing out of the way. Can you shed some light on that for us?
Well, I think at this point we're looking at the beginning of next week. I was a little surprised to wake up yesterday morning to the kind of rumor that was going around from Vegas live stream, the Vegas gambling stream. Just like everybody else was, I was a little caught off guard by it because I think next Monday is the day after the Super Bowl. They're announcing his MLB 19 the show cover. And at that point, that should be the time where they announce what team he's going to be on.
Chris,
I don't think you can announce it. I don't think you can announce a cover with Bryce Harper on it if you don't know what uniform he's going to be wearing, right?
True.
No, but I still don't get it. The MLB The Show Twitter account said yesterday, watch their account on Tuesday, nothing happened. That's what it said.
I think that's some good old fashioned trolling there, Rob. I think
yeah, I think you're right.
I think we should know a little bit about that by now in this day and age, right?
Yeah, well, I think the whole city got duped because when this whole Twitter thing came out about the Vegas tweet, I didn't believe any of it because not one other source was backing it up. No beat writers, no people that knew baseball. So I knew it was a bunch of BS. Oh, because this Vegas account said it's got to be true then.
I think we're all just grasping for something right now. At this point, Major League Baseball offseason is the biggest joke in all of sports offseasons. In football, you get an immediate payoff. In basketball, you get pretty much an immediate payoff within a week. Hockey, you get it within the 3 or 4 days. Like, the fact that we're less than 3 weeks away from spring training now, and the two biggest prize free agents on the market have not signed with a team yet, just goes to show how big of a joke it really is.
Ooh, wow, man! So no word on Manny Machado either.
I think Machado is waiting out Harper.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask.
Let's put it on the table. Did anybody ever in the history of sports lose more money by opening up their mouth and saying something completely stupid than Manny Machado did? I mean, this guy was supposed to be—he was supposed to be $350 million man. And you mean to tell me the highest reported offer that's coming about that has been rumored about with all these sources and all these teams is 7 years and $175 million from the White Sox?
Oh man!
I mean, that guy right there took a hit, I think he's just grasping for straws. And they're saying that he's still thinking about meeting with Padres officials, like. What don't you already know? Like,
Have you heard the specs on a Harper's deal? I heard it was a 6 year, $42 million a year.
Oh wow!
Well, I didn't hear anything about what he was getting now. But you can get him on a short term deal. I'd take that. I'm not a big fan of the 10 year deal.
Right.
I think I've been pretty emphatic during my time on being a part of the program. you got to get one of them.
Right.
And, you know, and at the end of the day, I don't want to say it's not my money because I like to think I spend a lot of money going
games, yeah.
every season. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's not because I'm not the one that's writing the check for $350 million if that's what it leads to.
No. But now the six-year, 42, what I think, what is that, 200 or what?
That's 240.
Yeah, 240, yeah. So that's yeah, not, I mean, that, I don't, and I'm with you. I feel like, but when you look at it too, it's good for the player just in case he's kicking ass. I.e., when Alex Rodriguez, he came around and he got another one.
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing was with A-Rod's deal had an opt-out clause in it after 3 or 4 years. So what he did, T.C. Sabathia did the same thing with the Yankees as well when he signed his big deal there in 09. Mm-hmm. He built in an option in there about 3 or 4 years into his deal. I think Clayton Kershaw just did it too. You could opt out of your deal and then you can capitalize on a longer term deal. So instead of having 4 years left on your contract and at, you know, $30 million a clip, you can cash in another 7-year deal at $30 million a clip. And it's all guaranteed in baseball. So if you're going to try and go out and get another extra $90 million, why not do it?
Yeah.
Now, other than the Bryce Harper and the Manny Machado talk, let's try to move on to the actual team. What are you looking forward to in spring training, and who do you have your eye on? I mean, I have my two guys that I'm watching, but who are you looking at and go, these are the two or three guys that I want to watch in the start of spring training?
Well, I think for me, as of right now, because they haven't gotten anybody else in the rotation yet, and I still hold hopes that they can get Keuchel, I want to see how Arrieta bounces back this year. I think we need to see a little bit more out of a guy making $30 million going into the season, especially with the way our rotation is, because we still have some unknowns like a Pivetta. I'd like to see a little bit more out of him this year, and maybe Eflin cashing in a little bit more on his June of last season. And then if you're going to talk about the lineup, the guy that I'm most excited for in the lineup is Gene Segura. But if you want to talk about a guy that if you're not going to get one of these two, which everyone is projecting that we're going to get one of them, you need a bounce back season out of Odubel Herrera.
And the dumbest player in baseball.
Occasionally I would try to defend him. Occasionally, Chris, I would try to defend him, but there's no defense. It seemed like every time you think that he's turned the corner, he turns back, turns around, and totally redeems himself.
Well, yeah.
Like, wow.
Well, they said that Klentak and Kapler were talking about how he came in completely out of shape last spring training. They had a talk to him. They had a talk with him shortly after the season. He's been in Clearwater since right after Christmas. So he is down there. I'm hoping it's for conditioning purposes, and getting his mind right and ready for the season. Cause let's face it, if Odubel can get back to kind of having his head semi on straight and you put him in an outfield with a McCutcheon and a Harper, that's a pretty lethal outfield, kind of one that we haven't had in about 9 years since we had Victorino, Worth, and Abanez.
That's assuming that he actually spartans up, which I don't think is going to happen. I think
at some point he'll have to. I think he'll smarten up a little bit. And it's like once when you see everybody else doing the right thing, sooner or later who's been there to lead him? Hold on. Given his IQ, who's been there to lead him?
No one's been there to lead him, but he's in the big leagues. His baseball IQ should be a lot better.
I know this, and we know this, but everybody's different.
You know from playing in the NFL,
right,
and being on the Eagles and on multiple other teams. Not everybody has the same engine.
Right, exactly. But sometimes it's going to take somebody else that he admires or he likes or he knows it plays well being there,
yeah,
and them doing well for him to be in a pretty much a competition. It's like we've been giving people jobs and stuff. Scott Kingery, we've been giving people jobs and stuff.
He has talent.
Yeah. Well, he didn't display it towards the end of last season. And to me anyway, he warned it sending down. So, he's not above being sent down. Nobody, see, that's the thing.
Not going to run a young player house.
Yes, you need to. when you do things, and nobody should be above getting anything done to them. You know what that shows? It shows favoritism. When you start showing favoritism, you fucking lose the team. Yep. And that's point. And that's it. Well, it's like when you see they wouldn't send him down, and he was stinking up the joint.
You like, can't send him down.
No, but you can't. You can't send him down.
No.
You can bench him.
I can't speak for football, but okay. In baseball, in a young player, uh-huh. He's got to get at bats.
He would get at bats down.
He needs more than a full year. He needs a full year.
They said a guy like Freddie Galvis was the communication piece between him and the clubhouse.
Right.
When he was there, and then last year he kind of lost his way because Freddie was no longer there. Now. And plus, they also had Chooch there for the first few years that he was there. So that kind of can bridge the gap a little bit with the language barrier in the clubhouse. A guy like a professional, like a Gene Segura,
mm-hmm.
could go a long way in being that guy, like a Chooch or a Freddie Galvis, as far as bridging that communication that might be misinterpreted from a guy like a Gabe Kapler, who doesn't seem like he can talk to anything outside of a protein shake.
or a razor. To get quality manscaping.
Exactly. But, I think we know what we're getting out of most of the lineup right. already. I mean, you kind of already, if you get Machado, it's going to replace Franco. Mm. So if you get Bryce Harper and you put him in right field, that's going to move McCutcheon over to left, and then you're going to have Altair or Williams out of the lineup or Roman Quinn. What Cesar can do for you. You know what Hoskins can do for you. You know what Alfaro is. You want him to step up a little bit more offensively. But, the one guy that, If you need someone to bat in the three hole in front of Hoskins because you didn't land Machado and you didn't land Harper, you're going to need Herrera to step up.
Hey, I was going to ask connections. You mentioned Nick Williams. Now you was talking about Scott Kingery's got talent. Well, when Scott Kingery was screwing the pooch instead of striking out and popping out, somebody else was doing well. But since he said something early in the season, it seems like they were being bitches and trying to just not put him in there. And it's like when you see a guy like that who does all the right things, who hits, who feels well and hits well, and they do as they've been doing Nick Williams, and you see them steady trying to put Scott Kingery in there, you feel like that's fair. You feel like that's even fair to the whole squad.
Well, they played different positions too.
Well, the thing, and I think Rob was just about to hit on this,
right.
The fact that they don't play the same position. I didn't appreciate when Kingery was playing left or right field.
Exactly.
When Hoskins was off and Williams was in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Now when shortstop was a needed position because Crawford went down and they had to put Kingery there, I understand that.
Yeah.
Williams played well last year, and I think it took him a little bit, just like pretty much the rest of the clubhouse, it took him a little bit to figure out what kind of alien Gabe Kapler is. And you're trying to adjust to somebody that's trying to do things differently. And that's exactly what Gabe was trying to do at the beginning. And I think finally his bench coach, who was the bench coach for the Yankees for 10 years, I think he finally got a hold of him and was like, why don't we try it a little bit more traditional way? And then it started working. They started winning some games.
It was at the end, though. Fell out of first place. It was like, that's what I was going to ask you.
I get they fell out of first place. I get that. I'm talking mm-hmm. about in May and June. But if you watched the games last year, they stumbled on a lot of wins that should have been losses. It was like
they weren't
really
scoring at all.
Enjoy that team last year and say, oh man, wow, I can't believe how good this team is. My whole outlook on that team last year was like, how the hell are they doing this?
It's
smoke and mirrors.
It wasn't smoke and mirrors. Our bullpen early on was pulling our ass out of a lot of fire.
Oh, 100%.
But the thing I was going to say was, if you watch, because I watched every game because I had to report on them. So you watch every game and he's like, you see guys taking strikes, and he's talking about getting them deep into the fucking count. They didn't start playing small ball like we were supposed to till towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
it was damn near over. It's like, if you'd have done that like in fucking August, do you understand what I'm saying?
Listen, they should be playing small ball constantly. They don't do it.
Well, this year they should be able to, the thing is with small ball, like they have the guys to do it now. Mm-hmm. Like Segura can hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
Segura will get you, you know, get the runner over.
Mm-hmm.
Professional bats in your lineup now.
See, but here's the thing, Chris. And what ticks me off about Major League Baseball, they're all professional bats.
Thank you.
They all should be able to bunt. And the reason they don't, and it annoys the hell out of me, is when you get to the big league level, fundamentals go out the window. We don't need to coach fundamentals.
We don't need to coach fundamentals.
That annoys me. They should be bunting more. Yeah. They should be hitting. There's so many things they should be doing that just drives me up the wall. But what I wanted to touch on, when you were talking about guys to look at, I was thinking about more of the younger guys. Mm-hmm. So like Sexto Sanchez, I want to see him make the club. Mm-hmm. Mickey Moniak, who we wasted a number one pick on, who isn't even listed. If you go and you look at Philly's top 10 prospects, he's not even in the top 10.
No.
And that's what we should be focusing on, is this team's ability.
Is he even 21 yet, though?
I don't care how old he is. When you're drafted number one as a high school player,
right?
You need to show me more. He showed me nothing.
He's 12.
I don't care how old he is. He's shown me nothing.
Has he shown you the skill this guy King? Has he shown you the skill this guy King?
I'll say this right now. I don't think you're not going to see Sixto Sanchez this season,
which is a waste. Why not?
I don't think if you're going to see anybody, you're going to see Medea.
Yeah,
but why not Sixto Sanchez? Give me a reason.
He'll be here before Sixto is. Sixto right now, after last season, they got bubble wrap on him. They're going to take it easy on him. They're not going to bring him up here to tax himself out.
Yeah.
Not yet. If you want Sixto Sanchez, you're going to be looking at 2020.
Which is depressing.
Well, you got Scott Kingery up here. You can watch him.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Kingery's going to have a good year this year.
I hope so.
You know what we're going to do in the summer?
I hope so.
We're going to go to games.
I'll be around.
We're going to have a Scott Kingery watch.
I'll already be at the games. You know, I'll do the games from the Nova Cam.
If you come down to Clearwater, I'll get us media credentials. We'll go buy the batting cage. You can sit there and tell Scott Kingery how you don't like him.
Apparently you don't know that I've already been to Clearwater.
No, I'm saying come with me.
I've got Michael Jack Schmidt on speed dial. To throw me bad at practice.
I'm just saying that I want to go there with you so we can talk to Scott Kingery about how we should be playing.
Now you want to go with me.
Or you can come with me. I don't care, Hollis. You know what I'm getting at.
I just big timed you.
You always like the big time. I know. Chris, anything I haven't thought of that you want to touch on? We have spring training coming up soon. We have the Harper and Machado, which, you know, we might be all skeletons by the time they make their decisions. Players to watch, and anything you want to bring up that we forgot to touch on.
Well, I don't think we can really touch on anything else at this time until we know if we're going to land Harper or Machado. I said this to my dad the other night. If one of those guys falls, the other one's going to fall right after it.
Right.
You're going to get, it's going to be bang, bang, real quick. And then from there is when the other dominoes are going to start falling. Like, I was surprised AJ Pollock just went ahead and just signed with the Dodgers.
well, you know what the thing with that was, because I was just here to ask you this. Well, you know, Manny Machado, he's been dealing with the White Sox, but apparently the Yankees signed somebody else that everybody thinks took his spot. But apparently there's some kind of handshake thing with him and the Yankees. What do you know about that with Machado and the Yankees? They said they've already got him. They still want to sign him.
Machado, from what I heard with Machado and the Yankees, is the Yankees are they want Machado, but they want him at their terms.
Oh.
And they know that he grew up a Yankees fan. He's a huge A-Rod guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like little brothers, you know, of Alex Rodriguez. I think they know that they could have him at their price if he really wants to be a Yankee. I don't see it happening. My thing is, I'm surprised that he didn't. If you're sitting there, you're looking at two deals on the table, and you're sitting there, you're looking at the White Sox and the Phillies. Why the hell would you want to be on the B team
of in Chicago?
In Chicago,
yeah.
And play in South side of Chicago.
Let me let you know this, Chris. I played football for Northern Illinois, which is 45 miles outside of Chicago. I think they bypassed the Chicago White Sox Stadium to get to Wrigley Field. Now, I never heard any, and at school, at my college, nobody really wore White Sox gear.
The only time somebody
wore White Sox gear is when they had Jack, the McDowell.
Me and my dad went to Wrigley Field to see the Phillies play every year from 08 to 2013. I got married in 2014, and we went back in 2015. We haven't been back since because I started a family. But other than that, though, Wrigley Field, if you go to Wrigley, mm-hmm. it is bars, restaurants, mm-hmm. party atmosphere yep. all day long. You go to the south side of Chicago.
Oh, God.
You can't get into the stadium fast enough
no,
as soon
can't.
As you get off the train. There's nothing to do. It is dry. It is boring. It is horrendous. It's horrible. You don't want to go down that way. If you're going to do anything, it's just like Trout. Like everyone wants to say with Trout, it's like it wouldn't matter if Trout played on the West Coast if he played for the Dodgers.
Correct.
He plays for the Angels. He plays for the Angels.
Another reason why he will be a Philly in less than 2 years. Just yep. put that on a calendar somewhere.
I just hope he doesn't wait until February to sign with us. To,
I know, dear Lord. I believe just sign. Hopefully, he just can't wait to sign a deal.
Yeah.
Do it
halftime at an Eagles game. That'd be great.
One last question. Who else do you yes, think sir. The Phillies got their eye on? I know it may not be anybody else left because of how late it is.
They're in on everybody, but I think they're playing the market just like they are with Machado and Harper. They're not going to try and outdo themselves. They're not going to try and outbuild themselves with these other guys. Like, they want a Keuchel, but they don't want to give him 5 or 6 years, which is what he's looking for. I think if they can get him at 3 or 4, they'll bring him in. But I think Keuchel, at this point, he'd be stupid not to go back to the Astros for at least another year.
So you think
they can
pay
him $25 million.
So you think it's going to be a thing like how we got Arrieta last year? And towards the end, you used to be some quality people out there. And since they're haggling over years of their contract, we give them that short term. It's like, here, you better take this motherfucking money. And these few years.
Well,
go ahead.
The Phillies have never been ones to just go ahead and give long term contracts to pitchers. Mm-hmm. I think the longest ones that they did was the 5 year deal that they did with Cliff Lee and the 6 year deal that they did with Cole Hamels. Mm-hmm. And I think that even the 6 year was a club option. Mm-hmm. So they're not big on that. When they got Doc in the trade, they gave him a 4 year contract extension. Or a 3 year contract extension. They had him for one more year, which mm-hmm. is 2010, and then they gave him 11, 12, and 13. Then he was done. He retired. The Phillies don't want to put too much long term into a pitcher because all it takes is one pop yeah. and that's it. So I see them kind of playing off on that on Keuchel and Kimball. Just sitting back, hey, where are you guys at? Checking in with the agent, keeping a dialogue going, and then if something comes about and it's something that makes sense for them, hey, here's our deal, sign it, bring them in. I don't think the Phillies are done yet. They're not done yet by a long shot.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to call in. Hopefully maybe next week you can call in and tell us we're still waiting for Harper and Machado.
Oh, God. Yeah, he does that, man.
Man. Well, hey, I hope next week we have something great to talk about. It would be awesome instead of the hypothetical and, you know, we can all kind of move on with our lives going into spring training. It'd be great.
Your lips to God's ears, Chris. Thanks for taking time to call in.
Anytime, guys.
I'll see you.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
There you go. There you go. Chris Sack, our Phillies insider, calling in. So I figure we'll take a quick break,
okay.
And then we'll come back. We'll talk Sixers. We'll talk this year. Believe it, I could care less
yeah.
about it.
Well, I wanted to talk about it. Did you get the state of the NFL address?
Oh.
You want to do that now or you want to do it on the other side? It's your call, Hollis.
We can take a break and then come back and,
all right.
and get some Sixers and gridiron stuff in.
All right. We'll talk about the NFL address, Sixers, all that, on all that fun stuff. We'll be back with more of episode 13 of the DQ Sports Blizzard right after this. We are back on the Sports Blizzard. I love how we start talking about, like, oh, we should just go on the air now because we're talking about
yeah.
it. But you want to, Hollis, when we took our last break, you were talking about, you want to do the state of the NFL. Or Roger Goodell gave us the state of the Jets. That's what you want to touch on?
Yeah, a little bit. It was crappy. What did you get from Pops?
I didn't even watch it. I mean, it's like, for me, I've always felt like it's a thing of favoritism.
Yeah.
With him, it's like a lot, almost borderline nepotism. The reason why I say that is because, you know, going back to my conspiracy, it's just irony.
Conspiracy.
It's yeah. always ironic when certain things happen in the way they happen. It's kind of like you don't really put a lot of stock into certain suspensions he do and different things that he do because it's like a thing of hate or a gripe with him as the commissioner with certain owners. Kind of like with Sean Payton
mm-hmm.
and the year-long suspension he got opposed to the Patriots organization getting a slap on the wrist.
So Spygate.
The reason I say slap on the wrist is because they had to forfeit a first-round draft pick
but they had one like a top 10 pick that they kept that same season.
Well, also
and no suspension and for Bill Belichick at all.
Yeah, and also it was that messed with the integrity of the game, the Spygate, because they were breaking into the locker room, stealing play, game week playbooks. They were taping practice, walkthrough practices. And it was like when he gave him a slap on the wrist and destroyed all the information, he actually promised all the other owners that the next time that they do something, he's going to watch out. No, you were supposed to strike then. You were supposed to let everybody know that that's not to be accepted. Everybody keeps talking about it didn't mean that much. Fuck you. It didn't mean that much, then why'd you do it? Go ahead.
Yeah, and then not only that, he destroyed the evidence. You know, when I was touching on it, you have Robert Kraft who bought the team, let's say $300 million. After that third Super Bowl win, that team was worth $1.2 billion. And it's the irony of all that is the person you mentored is running the show to where you could possibly get away with it. It came out, the magnitude kind of sort of came out when Tom Brady suspension got overturned.
Yeah,
it somehow leaked out the magnitude of everything that went on. And what Hollis didn't mention is also the one of the main things that was happening at the time was they were actually recording in game the signal caller on the sideline and running that simultaneously with the game film. That way you know where everybody's going to be just by looking at the other team sideline.
Well, so they didn't have to do that. There's pictures that you take of each play. The first you take is steel shots. That's what they got it. They have the steel shot of where you lined up and where you take your first and second step. That's what they had. So it's, but, and then this is the thing. Each series is stapled together already. So they didn't have to do, they talking about how we have time to do that. You hire somebody. That's why Eric Mangini went ballistic, dude.
Yeah.
And you know why he went ballistic? Because
they tried to do it to him.
No, they did do it to him when he was coaching the Jets.
Right.
The same game.
No, they tried to do it. That's when the whistle got blown. He went and got the guy.
Okay.
He got the security. They went and got the guy. He saw the guy on the sideline, and he knew where the camera was, and he went and got security, and went and got it, and went and told. Because I told you, I talked to, we was at the Pentagon talking about concussions. Myself, Eric Mangini, Joe Thomas, and a bunch of armed force people. And I started grilling him about that. And he said he hates that he did it. But he said he saw them trying to do the same shit to him, and he was like, what the fuck? He's like, I know what you do. You don't do it to the person who's a part of your organization.
Yeah, because
to what you're saying, where the things that almost spilled over was you remember Deflategate when Robert Kraft finally just took the fine and pulled out of court. Mm-hmm. See, he was thinking that was his cue to Roger Goodell to pull up off of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Because he said, I thought when I took the fine.
I was assured that it wasn't going to be this harsh.
It wasn't going to be this harsh.
That was his exact words. I definitely remember that.
But he didn't realize that when they tried to suspend the guys in New Orleans, and that they just called it the bounty gate, every fucking team does it. Everybody doesn't make the same amount of money. So you put money in a pool for guys who are making veteran minimum, who have families and stuff, and it's more of an incentive to go out there and knock the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's like he tried to make it a point, and this is how dirty them sons of bitches is. They use Steve Gleason. The tape from Steve Gleason, his tape for his son, ESPN, the guy he thought he had to blow the whistle. Get the fuck out of here. Use a guy who's on his last fucking leg, and you use the tape footage because they let you in the meetings. Yeah. They let him in the meetings. That's how they use the footage. And that's why Tom Benson and everybody with the Saints was so pissed. But then you slap them with all those sanctions.
Yeah.
And then you turn back around and Deflategate comes up, and now you want to act all hard with the Patriots. That's why he's no longer welcome in New England.
And the beauty of that, and the beauty of that was Belichick was like, I don't have anything to do with football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's time shit.
But when you look at the grand scheme of things, and we'll give Bill Belichick this. He's one of the, I feel like he's one of the best coaches at getting the most out of somebody for what they can do. Because who knew James White? What's the other running back that they had that was torturing everybody out the back?
Deion Lewis.
Yeah. He had those guys being fucking MVPs. And guess where they were? Guess where they were?
With the Eagles. They were here.
The Eagles. We didn't get that shit.
I like Deion Lewis.
But when you look at the, I think my favorite thing is when I talk to Don Shula about Bill Belichick. He calls him Bill Belichick. Because when listening to it come from him, because he's from the old school and they're from pretty much the same ordeal or, you know, same era coming up. And when you listen to Don Shula talk, and you realize how much of his legacy should be tarnished, and it should be asterisked by all that stuff. It's the one coach that went undefeated, not with a super duper. He had fucking Bob Greasy at quarterback, and a no name defense.
Yeah, and then the whole thing when the Eagles lost to the Patriots, we had conversation about it, and long before anything came out, I remember him Holler telling me it felt like they knew what we were gonna do before we did it. And if you watch that game, anytime the Eagles blitzed, they were in max protection. And anytime they dropped in zone, they either had Corey Dillon in single or they had no back in the backfield.
Yeah.
The whole game.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And then somebody was like, it didn't mean that much. If it didn't mean that much, then why is there microphones?
Yeah,
why is there microphones in the defensive play? No, why are there microphones in defensive players' helmets now? It's kind of like the same thing when everybody talks about the Buster Douglas fight with Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson pretty much knocked him out in the eighth round, if it didn't mean that much, why is there a referee right there where after the guy tells him to go to the corner, he looks to see what the count is?
And I think he's got to like 14.
Yeah, he counted to 14. Go back and look at that fight. Everybody told, he didn't get knocked out.
He has a pair of white gloves on. You see him doing like this. And when he was at like maybe five, the referee started counting at one.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because when you look at it, it's like, and I crack up because people always talk about you crying over spilled milk and stuff. It's like, not crying over spilled milk, but the other thing is, if they had to did us like they did Indianapolis, like when the Deflategate got, Indianapolis lost them 45-0.
Yeah.
It wasn't shit about.
Yeah. I mean, we pretty much knew that was over.
I was like, you knew that was over from the word go. But when he talks, I still can't take him seriously. And I feel like this right here, this thing with the Saints, because what I was getting ready to tell you guys was, Sean Payton did an end of the year interview, and if you look under his shirt, he's got a stupid Goodell shirt on.
Yeah, they think it's like he's dressed up like a clown or something.
Yeah,
that's
hilarious. Yeah, but they got them from New England.
Really?
Yeah. New England. That's what
he'll probably get fined for it.
No, you can't. But you can't see it totally because he's got a sweater on it. But you can just see the top
a little bit. Yeah, everybody knows what it is.
But yeah, we know.
That's great.
It is,
yeah. On a brighter note, let's move on to the Sixers.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sixers win last night in Los Angeles.
All right.
Fultz was on the bench. He had a big. Did you see? He had a new chain on, a big 20 medallion.
That's
first
right.
thing I noticed last
14
night.
Million,
he, like something happened. I think there was a fast break, and you just see him. He's clapping. Jumping up,
right.
got the medallion,
right.
and I'm thinking about Hollis. I'm like, wonder if Hollis saw that. I was laughing last night.
Yes, I did. Yes,
I was cracking up. I almost texted you.
I was like, sit your ass down. But you know what? You know what? When they pan to LeBron James, and under you can see it. Look at those faces. Like, damn, I should have went to Philly.
Right?
Go ahead.
Did you notice? I was talking to your brother about this. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching before that game. I watched the end of the Rockets in New Orleans.
Rockets
play,
in New
right?
Orleans, right. Uh-huh.
Well, they kept saying players only. I'm like, mm-hmm. what are they talking about?
Yeah, the show, it sucks.
Well, it's not just that.
Uh-huh.
They had only players doing the games last night.
I know.
So Isaiah Thomas was the lead guy.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, they're coming back from a break, and literally, like, you hear these playoff players. First of all, it's a very hard job, right?
I know.
Not anybody can do it.
Yeah.
And House, and not, sorry, House.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas comes back, and it's like, And we're back from Houston. It's the score is like real modern. Like, you suck.
Like,
exactly. It was bad.
I'm used to hearing
Marv Albert.
Yeah.
Marv Albert coming back to Houston, Texas. Yeah. It's like, you need somebody, and see, remember when I was talking about earlier about the ESPN thing? You need somebody boisterous. You need somebody that's going to be not so much controversial, but yeah. He's not going to agree with every fucking thing you say because you say it and they want to keep things easy. Everything, the world is not easy. Everybody loves carnage and controversy.
Yeah.
Not that it's what you want to bring, but I'm not going to agree with everything. I think the biggest this is the lesson of the day, the biggest misnomer, because we're friends, we're not going to agree on everything. I'm not going to agree with everything you say. You're not going to agree with everything I say, but we're still friends. And that's your opinion, and that's my opinion.
Right.
And it's like just because we cool don't mean that we have to agree on everything. And I often tell people it's like. It's not the end of the world. It's like it's going to be a lot of stuff that we don't agree on.
That's your opinion.
That's your opinion versus my opinion.
But the next game, the Sixers game, it got worse.
Oh, my God.
I don't – Kevin McHale was good.
Kevin McHale was good.
But the other two guys –
Greg Anthony. It was Greg Anthony. Who's the dude in the middle? And then – oh, did you see the at the end of the game interview with Dennis Scott? Oh, my God.
Oh, dude, talking to Embiid? Embiid's like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't – like, dude, the whole – I love watching the Sixers, but that whole broadcast sucked.
But then the TNT thing, what you watch it for, Shaq, Charles, Achilles.
Charles wasn't even on last night.
I know. That's what pissed
me off. I'm like, really?
Yeah,
I'm like, this sucks.
You've ruined my whole fucking night.
I'm like, I'm going to go take a shower now. I don't really care about halftime.
That was one of the games you just cut the TV down.
Yeah, cut the TV down and play some Rick James.
The thing that I noticed, and they brought it up during the broadcast, was Sixers get out to another ginormous lead.
Right.
They scored like 48 points in the first quarter.
Correct. Yeah.
And then, of course, the Lakers, they never – I think they cut it to 9 was the closest they got it to. But that's – we've been saying that's the Sixers' problem.
That's the thing. You missed it. You covered – you buried the lead. You're supposed to say the Sixers got to a great, great lead. And then the starters went and sat down.
Yeah.
As soon as the starters went down, it seemed like the Lakers. You see, you saw fucking LeBron jumping up with the three
finger
and throwing the wings. And sit your tight pants ass. What the fuck are you doing?
For the first quarter, he's like, I'm not here. And then all of a sudden, oh man.
But then he was sitting right back down, talking about, damn, I should have went to Philly.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier to take the lead. Than it is to maintain the lead in all sports.
But they have had a problem. They've been better. They've been better last month.
I think
bench has to be better.
But I think you know what I think. Yeah. I think he's regaining though. Is Brett Brown is learning when to put the starters back in.
Yeah.
It's like because you can't let the starters sit and just let those guys continue to come back. You tell the starters get some fucking water and do whatever you fucking need to do to get some juice back going. Because these guys are not going to last that fucking long.
I panicked last night because when Embiid went down.
I was
like, oh God. I was like, no. I was like, I was in bed watching on my iPad. Mm-hmm. I just woke up. I'm like, I hope this is a dream. I hope, get back on the court. Get back. And then when we came back and they go, he's in the locker room. I'm like, oh God, he's in the locker room. And then when we came back on the bench, I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Well, you know, the reason why I didn't panic was because the way he landed. He didn't land and nothing twisted out of position. He just kind of landed under the rim and this one of the ones where you're like, oh God. And then you kind of stand up. You just kind of just need somebody to just, you just need to loosen up and stuff to get your bearings back by yourself. It's kind of like getting the wind knocked out of yourself.
Yeah.
Or getting kicked in the nuts. It's like you get kicked in the nuts and somebody grazes your nuts. You're like, oh God.
Oh, you got me. You got
he's
me.
Like, you okay? I'm going to be all right.
That'll be the next thing how we open the show. We're going to kick each other in the balls and see how it feels on the Sports Blizzard.
I'll go first.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Let's play Rochambeau.
Oh, God. Now, they got a big game tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're playing. We're going to get a good measuring stick playing against Golden State. We'll see how they play. We'll see if they show up. We'll see if they defend.
You know what I'm going to be looking for in that game? I'm be looking at how the starters play because you know they got Boogie Cousins too, and they got him in the starting lineup. So it's going to be interesting to see. I just want to see how our starters play because then that'll be a measuring stick of what we have to do bench wise because the Golden State is one of the deepest teams in the NBA.
Well, their bench could start for most teams.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and that's why they're so good, and that's what you need. And what were we going to say?
He's about to look at their actual bench. Yeah, he's about to call you on your bullshit.
No, it's not that. It's just that it's not like it was. I think with their bench, they're old. Like Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston,
You got to remember Sean Livingston didn't play that long. Maybe he had that horrific injury, and then he came back.
Yeah,
the younger you have to go look at those young guys on there are nice. So,
yeah, like the one guy that was starting at center, I forget.
I forget his name. He's fairly young, but I think he was one and done, And then they've been grooming him over the past few years.
In college he was?
Yeah, one and done. Yeah.
So he's one of those.
Yeah, he's one of those one and done. But they've been keeping him around. They've been grooming him over the past few years, and he's kind of arrived. So he's a scrappy player. So when you look at what they got, they're like one of the deeper teams in the NBA.
Oh, okay.
Do you think we get the A crew tomorrow? Since it's the Sixers and Golden State, do we get an A crew tomorrow?
It's going to be on ESPN, though.
Oh, it's
ESPN or it's small ESPN or is it TNT?
It is TNT.
All okay, right.
So hopefully we get the A crew.
Hopefully we get Charles
hopefully
for that.
Yeah, hopefully we get the damn A crew. Because it's like so if I hear Isaiah Thomas and Greg Anthony, because it was Greg Anthony. Who was the other guy? I want to say it was Greg Anthony.
They're talking about
Jim Jackson and Kevin McHale. You remember who Jimmy Jackson is?
The one who
fought Kevin Jason Kidd because because of Tony Braxton.
Yeah,
I actually like it. Jim Jackson had he's about to go bang Phony Braxton, and Jason Kidd took his place. He didn't get anywhere though because he was light skinned with a bunch of pimples.
Now, so big game for the Sixers tomorrow.
Right.
And I want to see kind of, like you said, it's a measuring stick game.
Yeah.
You want to kind of see where it goes. So I guess, even though I could care less about this, I guess we got to talk about the Super Bowl. I have no desire to watch it. The Eagles aren't in it. I don't care.
You know what the reason why I think some people are not going to watch it? Because everybody's tired of seeing the same bitches in there every year.
I don't care about that.
I don't care about that.
The Eagles aren't in it. I don't care.
The Eagles aren't in it. Yeah. But I'm gonna watch it I'm gonna watch it though because I want to see if the Rams can supplant them.
I think they can.
I
kind of don't want them to because I want us to have that moniker.
Because we're better
than the Rams.
You know what? You know why I want the Rams to win? Because they were the first ones to get fucked with the Spygate. You didn't even know that, did you?
When they
won their first one, you don't remember when they was doing a walkthrough at the Superdome or wherever it was in the dome. And they noticed it was some New England Patriots film guys up there taping they walked through.
But see, at the same time with the Patriots, I respect how good they are.
I don't.
I mean, you win.
See, that's the thing.
Let's see, they don't.
They get too much.
What do they say? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
But that's only as a player.
It's only as a player. If you get caught, everybody's still pissed at you.
It's kind of like the guy, NBA referee, Tom Donnie.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you swaying the game considerably.
Yeah.
And when you're doing it to that magnitude, it's sickening.
And the fact
nobody looked at it, but it's just like steroids in baseball.
Yeah. But steroids in baseball, they wanted them to do that to bring everybody back.
Right.
And then say to what he's saying is like, if they had, like, remember when I told you it wouldn't have mattered had they blew everybody out. But they've only won every Super Bowl they won about two or three points.
Yeah.
You cheated to a magnitude to where you hired extra motherfuckers on your staff to break down film and to find who's doing the hand signals on the opposing team. You changed the history and the game. But see, they're underdogs this time. But they see they're being overshadowed now by crappy officiating.
Yeah.
Officiating.
Yeah, and the thing about it, my whole thing is I won't give them that type of credit is for the same reason Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, they're not in the Hall of Fame.
They're not in the Hall of Fame.
Did
they put Mike Piazza in there?
And probably never
Mike
will.
Mike Piazza takes steroids, stop it.
I know, but did they put him in there?
Mike Piazza is also has the most home runs as a catcher, so that's why he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but he was Juicy J.
By the way, Quimby's going to get mad at this. Mike Piazza drafted out of the Perky League, which is the league that I coach in. So there's my shot. Quimby's going to hate that. He's like, he had to work in the Perky League into the Green League. House brought up Mike Piazza.
But he's one of the guys that was Juicy J, yeah. and they let him in.
No proof of that.
There's no proof of Barry Bonds and none of them.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Barry Bonds and
they
Roger
got proof
Clemens.
Of Barry Bonds.
And Roger where's the proof?
And Roger Clemens. The guy.
Did he fail a test?
He admitted.
They weren't testing back then.
Yes, they started testing. Did he fail a test?
No.
Okay.
The thing is, with Barry Bonds,
he's the one that brought up Victor Conti. The thing with Barry Bonds is he told everybody he did beyond. Now see,
Alex jerk too.
Exactly. Alex Rodriguez, who was trying to be a jerk, and what's the kid out of Milwaukee? The
Braun.
Yeah, Braun. Yeah. He was trying to be an asshole.
Braun got his the UPS
he got
the UPS,
he got the yeah, yes. no, FedEx driver fired.
Somebody
he got the
it
FedEx driver
fired.
Yelling at the guy during the appeal, yelling at him.
But the thing with Barry Bonds is he would have gotten to the Hall of Fame without that home run part. He's already a Hall of Fame player. Then he goes and does it.
Yeah. Well, he only did it
because they let him. Yeah. And for them to hold people out because of that, you were not testing for steroids. If you go all the way back in time to everybody who set all the records.
Yeah.
What were they doing?
And I think they were using Ben Gay.
Quaaludes.
No, they were using Ben Gay.
But no, what
does Ben Gay do?
I don't know, but it was something about Ben Gay that they were using.
That's for their pitchers? For the pitchers?
I heard some in general about something to an advantage in baseball.
Mm. I think they were taking Quaaludes too in the 80s. They would take all kinds of stuff.
But the thing about Barry Bonds, see, because I was in St. Louis during the time of McGuire and Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa lately? Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, he looks like
looks like Michael Jackson himself.
He looks worse than Michael Jackson.
Yeah, but the thing about it was, if you guys remember, in '96 they had a strike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then they didn't come back from that strike until
they started that home run chase.
Home run chase, and then the following year they banned Andro, which is what Barry Bonds was taking.
No. They banned amphetamines. They banned because one of the pitchers died from taking it. Dottie Man, what was it? Because one of the pitchers died from it. It wasn't amphetamines. What's the name of it? It was a rip, because it used to be a rip pill, and it used to be in those truck driving pills.
Was it a major league player that died?
Yeah, major league player. He was a young player because he took a bunch of them.
Who did he play for?
Ephedrine. That's what they banned Ephedrine first. And he
was in something called Fin-Fin. Yeah,
it was in the weight loss stuff. They banned that first. Then they start putting their drug stuff in contact.
Well, like it was first in the rule.
Yeah, it was the first they had to meet on Capitol Hill because somebody was like, oh, look at all these giant guys out there swinging at these pitches. They got to be doing something.
Yeah, but they did it to bring the sport back, and they did it. Then it was like a special on ESPN about how they would go to Mexico and get the good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think we ever talked this much baseball on the show before.
Right.
But I want to get, as we're winding the show down, I guess predictions for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Hollis, who do you like?
The Rams. Just outright Rams. Okay. Who do you think, again, the coin toss, I think the Patriots are going to win a coin toss.
Okay.
I got the Rams.
The Rams.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pick the Patriots, but Hollis, you guys are usually pretty on and pops with your picks. I just don't want to see the Rams win, because it's like, I don't think they're better than the Eagles.
Well, I'm not
really going to watch it.
At this point, I really don't care. I don't care for the Rams, because even though I'm a 49ers guy, I felt like the Rams used the city of St. Louis as a stepping stone to make the city of L.A. jealous.
Yeah.
And as you can see, the reason they left L.A. initially was because nobody was going to the game.
I think these tickets are like the lowest for a Super Bowl like in a long time.
Yeah, because nobody cares.
I argued with a guy who's a big guy out in L.A. in the adult film business about how it's a bad sports city. He's like, it's not a bad sports city. I'm like, dude, stop.
It's too much stuff to do.
Well, no, it's not a bad Lakers or Dodgers city.
Right.
Yeah.
Dodgers after the third inning.
Yeah, it is San Diego. Then you got the Oakland Raiders. He's like those places, but then they treat them like shit.
Yeah,
yeah. Both of their stadiums are shitty, except for the Staples Center, and the used to be called the Forum.
And hence, that's why they left.
That's why they left. Football, unless you play for USC or UCLA, USC and UCLA games be jam packed.
I like the Patriots. You guys like the Rams. Yeah. And hopefully when we come back next week, maybe the Phillies would have signed somebody. Maybe.
I hope. Yeah.
Who knows? Make sure iTunes rate and review us, because it's important that you do that. Mm-hmm. And we got to thank our sponsors like we always do at the start of end of every show. Miller Lite. We love drinking Miller Lite. If you're not drinking Miller Lite, go drink Yards. We got the brewery right here in Northern Liberties. Also, Stateside Vodka, because I love the Quinn sisters, but I love Stateside Vodka when I make my pickle martinis, but they got their distillery right here in Fishtown. Bucks County Baseball, 422 Jeep in Limerick, all the Cavanaugh's restaurants, except the one in Delaware Ave, which will open up the end of March. Our friends at Delilah's, we love Delilah's. All our friends at the Maniunk Bars, Bourbon Blue, Bayou, Cactus, Maniunk Sports and Social Club, and our boy Ken Davies, City Fitness, all their locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market. So that'll do it for episode 13 of the Sports Blizzard, and hopefully we don't freeze by next week, because it's super cold here in the city. I think it's like 14 now.
If that.
Hopefully it warms up in the next couple days. But we'll be back next week with more of the Sports Blizzard. Good night, everybody.